I have some scoring footage.
I know. You're just getting bored.
You're in bed by 8 a.m.
That's right.
I doubt it.
I think we were probably too tired to do prank.
Yeah.
Busy. He was up early on the day he came back. Out the door.
6 a.m. Are you feeling ill?
Did he have a good time?
Yeah, I think so.
Good.
The rooster? Oh, the dog. Yeah, the rooster. Rooster, the rooster.
All right.
Absolutely gorgeous.
I think we're ready to get started.
I'm ready.
The fellowship has commenced. So, all right. Well, hey, we're going to be in good morning, and it's good to have the Fosters back and World Travelers back there eating chocolate, getting cranked up on caffeine. So that's good. Sugar and caffeine. Well, hey, we're in Psalm 34, so that'll be good. But I'm going to do a couple of announcements here. Jeremy, you want to do them?
I can.
Okay, and then we'll do our prayer requests and then get into Psalm 34.
So just a few announcements. We're still in need of someone to host for Vision Conference. There are some helpers coming from Monmouth to help with their children, so we still need a host family for one of those families, and Jason is looking for someone to host guest speakers. So if you know someone, if you have a disciple that you can make a host, I'm joking, but we're still in need of host families. Next Sunday, of course, is Easter, so there will be baptisms on Easter Sunday, so that will be neglected. So we will have ABF. Next week, because remember it's sunrise service. We're going to have a sunrise service about 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Yep. Uh-huh. So when the sun rises.
And then there will be an Easter egg hunt. So if you have relatives or friends who would want to use that as a way to invite them to bring children to come. And then our regular service, our Easter service, I should say, main Easter service will be at 10 o'clock next Sunday. So, and you may know that we're going out for Adopt a Street today. This is our first time to go out. So encourage us to be a party that we're trying to do, go out for those who are. They don't get bit by dogs, I'm joking. That God would open up doors of utterance for the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ. So Vision Conference, again, is around the corner, so be planning for that April 7th through the 10th. There's going to be day sessions and evening sessions, as we normally do. So just be planning for that. King's Mighty Men, so it's the father-son retreat. It's not just a retreat. The idea is that we are setting down milestones in young boys' lives to be leaders and men of God. So something to pray about, or if you have those who would participate. So it's ages basically 8 to 12 for the first year boys. So there's a prayer team. The Renault Boston prayer team will be meeting right after church. So those are the announcements. Anything else, Brent?
Nope. Nope, that's it. I think you got the sunrise service in there, so that's good. If you know anybody or your disciple anybody, again, like you said, that needs to be baptized, make sure that they let us know. And so it's Palm Sunday. It's exciting to think about. It's kind of sad, but it's also exciting to think about the Lord being triumphal, and then conquering sin and death. So we're going to read Psalm 34. I'm only going to do the first seven verses, and we'll have a word of prayer. Before we pray, though, are there any prayer requests? And some, we got some. I know there's some praises. We don't have to list them, but praise the Lord. I know God's answering prayer. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I want to thank everyone that prayed for us this last week. That's why I love this class so much, is because I know that if you are in need of prayer, you're going to get it. And God answered that in a mighty way.
Amen. Thank
you. I thank Him and I thank you all.
Amen. Yes, ma'am. Betty?
Prayer for my disciple, Alana Martin.
Yeah.
She was in an accident 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
She had an accident. She's fractured her T11.
Oh.
She had lots and lots of pain, and not a lot you can do with that. Just dealing with work comp fractures and such as that.
Yeah, she's a bus driver.
Yes.
Excuse me. Does she need anything? Has she got an ABF? I don't think she does.
She attends sporadically to Steve's class.
Okay. Thanks for telling me about it. I didn't know that about her. Did you mention that and I forgot?
No.
Okay.
I forgot to mention it last week. She seemed like she's doing much better, but she's just had a lot of trouble.
Okay. Now we need to, yeah.
I was shocked. She was here last Sunday.
Wow.
Her daughter brought her, which was a real answer to prayer. Her daughter stayed for the service.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
She plans to do a doctistry with us, but she just can't go today. She's
mm-hmm. Well, she's a pistol. She's not going to sit down for long. She doesn't have to. So, wow. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a prayer praise. My blood work is normal.
Yay.
Because I'm still in remission. I do have to go see a cardiologist, though, because I'm having some issues with my heart. So I just ask for prayer that it's nothing serious. And I just thank everyone for praying for us and lifting us up. It's really a blessing to know that God is with all of us. And I just thank you guys.
Amen. I'm thankful God got the Fosters to the Swiss Alps and back. That's exciting. It's good to have you guys back.
Continued prayers for my sister. Talk with my brother, and having her daughter there with her is helpful, but she is on the downward slope, you know, of this illness. Cancer having spread to her spine and her liver. It's only a question of time. But just pray for comfort for her two daughters, Beth and Amanda, and for all those who hold her near and dear, myself included.
Yes.
Bob, what is your sister's name?
Kathy Ferris.
Kathy Ferris. F-A-R-I-S.
Yeah, well, that's a tough situation.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for praying for me last week in Atlanta. I needed it, and it was a good time. So I'm glad we were able to get down there, and really good preaching. So it was good. All right. Well, let's. Let's go to reading, and then we'll go to praying, and we'll remember these items that we just mentioned, to praise and praise the Lord. And so, let's see, how do we do this? Last time I think I read. I'm only going to do the first seven verses. I'm just going to break this up in chunks, small chunks. So, if somebody would like to read, we can just read seven verses, and then we'll go to praying. And Jeremy, if you kick us off, all in this, and anybody that wants to sandwich in between, that'll be great on the praying side. Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to read?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thanks, Betty.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we do bless your name at all times. Lord, we do want your praise to be continual in our mouth. We do magnify you, Lord, and exalt your name before it is holy, because you do deliver us from so much. And, Lord, we do understand that your angels encamp about us, and for those who understand and know you as his Lord and Savior, we just thank you and praise you for that. We praise you for all these thanksgivings and answer prayer, Lord, with Sharon, Lord, and bringing back Randy and Julie safely. We do thank you for Judy and her blood work, and do lift her up as far as with her heart, and Lord, that you would just mightily work as you've done in her life and her health. We do lift up Bob's sister Kathy to you, Lord, that you would continue to minister to her and show her more of yourself.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and so thankful for your sacrifice that you have made. And we praise not so much the sacrifice, but the fact that you rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That you live eternally here in this universe, but most especially within our hearts. We give you thanks and praise and glorify your name.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we are so grateful. Lord, as we think about who you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and Lord, yet you humbled yourself and fulfilling your own words, Lord, you rode in triumphantly in Jerusalem. And if the people wouldn't have praised you, the rocks would have cried out. And so, Father, we're thankful for your sacrifice. We're thankful for this time of year when the world stops to remember the resurrection, even if they don't comprehend it. And Lord, we pray today as we go out into the streets that you would open up doors of utterance, Lord, that you would go before us. Lord, this last passage we read says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you go forth in our community and you deliver people today. Lord, I know there is darkness. Lord, there is wickedness. The prince and power of the air is at work and permeating all aspects, saturating our culture with evil. And yet, Lord, we are victorious. We're more than conquerors because of Christ, and we're so thankful that you hear our prayer. Our poor man cries, Lord, we're poor, but yet we're rich, Lord, and because of Jesus. And Lord, there's a lot of folks that today need to come to that place where the only thing that's worth anything is you, and understand that and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so, Father, we pray, God, that you continue to go before us. Pray for the guests that are in the house today, Lord. I know there were some in here, and then I think they moved on to another class. But, Lord, I just pray, God, that you just, as they're looking to this morning, Lord, that you just minister to them and get them the word that they need, the fellowship that they need. Pray, Lord, again for Bob and his sister Kathy Ferris. And, Lord, we lift up Judy Steele and pray, God, that the cardiologist would help her with her heart troubles. And Lord, just want to pray for Alana Martin. We're just so thankful for her and how you've just really brought her here, and through little touches here and there, friendships with the Bilenas, and now she's in discipleship. And Lord, we just pray for her. Pray, God, you heal her up physically and just continue to encourage her spiritually. And just thank you for Bob and Sharon. They're pillars in our church, and we're thankful, Lord, that for their example and their presence and their participation here, Lord. We're just thankful for them. And I just praise you, Lord. There's a lot to be thankful for today, and in everything we give thanks, Lord. We know that you are mighty, Lord. You are a mighty God, and you do encamp around us. And Lord, man, there is nothing, Lord, that can stop you. And we're so thankful your word is true and it comes to pass just the way you said. And we put all of our faith in what you say and what your word says and who you really are, your integrity. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we praise you for that. And we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, did anyone need a handout? Because we are, I mean, paper. No, I'm just kidding. Now I'm already halfway through this outline, as always. So you may have to. Yeah, if you had one, if you were here last week, then you have that's the same outline. So it's not fresh. I'm giving you moldy bread today. I'm just kidding. God forbid. So I'm giving you. I'm going to finish up where we started last week in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to wrap up this chapter by God's grace, and then we'll move on to the next. Philippians chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 18. And read the text, and I'll do a little review with you, and then we'll hop into the outline. We're on point 2 of the outline, so I'll try to roll slow so you can maybe get some blanks filled in. But Philippians chapter 1 and verse 18, I'll go ahead and read the text. He says, Philippians 1:18. I'm going to read through the end of the, not through the end of the chapter, through verse 26. So what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. All right, so that is where we left off in verse 26. Actually, I went too far. I was only supposed to go through verse... No, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm confusing myself. All right, so we saw in... get past that. So we saw in verse 1. Let me get through these for those that might want to fill those in. The gospel is the gift that continues to give, right? In verses 19 and 20. Sorry, Betty. Did I ignore you?
No, you didn't. I thought I had it.
Okay.
I was here last week. I don't know where it is.
Okay. Well, the dog ate it. That's what happened. Hey, guys. Welcome.
I'm guest here.
Hey, thanks for coming.
Welcome. Hi.
We're just reviewing this. Are you Mrs. Ware? Nope. Another first-time guest. Nice to meet you. I'm Brian. Thanks for coming. This is a little outline we're following, if you want to follow along. If not, we're just glad to have you. So, so we were looking at the fact that the gospel is the gift that continues to give in verses 19 through 20. We saw the four things that Paul references in verse 19 through 20 is my salvation, my earnest expectation, my hope, and my body. All right, so we talked about that, and we saw how when he talks about how this will turn to his salvation, it's not dealing with his eternal life. We had a good discussion on that as far as adding to his eternal testimony, and how when we get saved, we're building a repertoire for the judgment seat of Christ. And so that was interesting. So we also saw two things that will increase eternal earnings potential, right? Return on investment. And so we looked at that. The one is prayer, supplication. We just did that a few moments ago. And the other is supply of the Spirit, right? The Lord supplies in His Spirit. And then we saw, we asked the question, how's our giving, right? And not just financially, obviously, but how are we doing with praying and supplying in the Spirit? We're an agent that God uses to bless others. And so the questions I asked were, are we watching out for others in prayer? Are we fellowshipping with our brothers? And are we waiting for God's resources and being patient in waiting on God to supply? So those are that's what we talked about last week. And then point C, we saw the hope of the gospel gives confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. And we want to be confident at the judgment seat of Christ. So the judgment seat of Christ is for those that are saved, not for those that are lost. Those that are saved appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And we talked about that, right? The things that we do in the body, whether they be good or bad, will be judged there. And then point D, the hope of the gospel gives us confidence in our calling. Right, the gospel gives us confidence in our calling. So Paul said there in verse 20, according as my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. He's very confident, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. It doesn't bother him whether he's living or dying. He's going to glorify the Lord, and he's not ashamed. And so we also saw excuse me, the hope of the gospel continues to give. And then so it's a gift that keeps giving. Excuse me. That's where we left off. And I'm going to... I thought I grabbed myself. There it is. I'm a little parched. All right. So now we're on point two. Are we all caught up?
Yep.
All right. You're like, why don't you go that fast all the time? I don't know. So... let's look down at verse 21 again afresh, and Paul says, "For to me to this is very familiar to most of us. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know, think about that. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so, in verse 21, this is a key verse in the book of Philippians. It's a key verse in the book, and again, it's a verse that many of us know. We must allow the Spirit to control our lives. In essence, we're like dead men walking. Our flesh, on our outward man is perishing, but the inward man, the Bible says, is renewed day by day. So on the inside, the most alive, we think, like, you look at people, you think the most alive thing about them is their flesh. But really, that's not true. The thing that's quickened is our soul. And that's so encouraging when you're at the bedside of a loved one who's about to pass away. The outward man is perishing. But the inward man, don't be deceived. They're not. They're more alive than ever, and they got to shed this husk to get to the goods, right? Now you have to believe that by faith, because everything you see says the opposite, but it's still true because the Word of God says so. And so in Galatians 2:20, which I don't know that I. Yeah, on this PowerPoint, I didn't get the verses. So turn over to Galatians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 20. Again, another familiar passage. Would someone like to read Galatians 2 and verse 20?
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen. So what a great passage to meditate on as we're going into, you know, the Easter resurrection week coming up. I am crucified with Christ. So we're as good as crucified. I mean, we, as far as the Father looks at us, we've been crucified, and we're alive, even though we've been crucified. And why is that? Because Christ liveth in me. So the day that you accepted Christ as Savior, it quickened you, right? It says in Ephesians 2:1. So you were brought to life. And when you were brought to life, you were also his death was propitiated to you, right? It was given to you. So you're as good as, you're crucified with Christ. You live with Christ because he's alive. So what's that mean? Well, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul, when he says this, he's really walking. When he says walk by faith, not by sight, right? He really means it. Like his every step he took was by faith. I'm as good as a dead man, and the only reason I live is for Christ, because Christ is my life. And if we really thought about that, man, that would really help us walk in the Spirit, right? And so, and that is my sub point here, is we need to make sure that we let the Spirit of God control our lives, because we get to decide, right? Obviously, he has our soul and its seal, but we get to yield ourselves to him or not. So, practically speaking, if you go to chapter 5, and this isn't going to blow the doors off anybody, you guys know this passage, but let's just slow roll it for a minute and think about it. He says in chapter 5 and verse 13, For brethren, right? So he's not talking to people who aren't born again. He's talking to Christians. He says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So verse 13 is pregnant in its clarity that we have decisions to make, right? You're not under the lockdown or some sovereign situation where you can't control the decisions you make. You obviously, brethren, you got a choice to make here, because you've been called unto liberty. How are we going to use our liberty? What are we going to do with it? That's up to us. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? And so we know the great commandment. He appeals to that. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Right? So there's consequences for not using your liberty to edify other people. Right? But if you use your liberty to hurt other people and you bite and devour, well, it's gonna hurt you. That's what he's saying. And so this I say then, instead of doing that, this is what you ought to do. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So verse 16 makes it clear that you will have the lust of the flesh. Right? That's the bummer thing. Like, you know, it's not going away until you die. That's one of the things I look forward to about death, or the rapture, whichever comes first, is shedding this flesh. Right? Because, man... Hey, Norma Foster, it's good to see you. Because this old flesh, man, it's a decision every day, isn't it? If we're gonna walk in the Spirit or not. So that's what he says. You know, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Right, so we are in a situation where we can choose to walk in the Spirit or not, and so that brings me to the next point. Right, so he says to live is Christ, which to die is gain, not just physically dying, but like Paul said, I die daily. Right, so it wasn't just a matter of like dying; he decided every day that he was gonna surrender himself to the Lord and die to his own wishes and will. And that's what we got to do, is die daily. I would say more than daily. I got to make decisions throughout the day. You know, like maybe in the next 30 seconds, I got to die again. So, you know, I die daily. You know, you die daily until that person cuts you off in the traffic. And then all of a sudden, your flesh jumps back up. And you're like, no. And so, where was we at? I was somewhere. Where were we at? And so... I was at dinner the other day, and they were just kidding me, but they can perpetually messed up my meal. And that's what somebody said. Well, I can tell you are walking in the Spirit, because they never served me my meal. They're everybody at the table, I'm not exaggerating, 20 people. I don't know what was going on. All I ordered was bone-in wing appetizer. And I'm telling you, appetizer after appetizer after appetizer. They gave me two or three appetizers that weren't mine. I'm like, I didn't order this. So, but some of the guys would give me a hard time, because they're like, man, you really are walking in the Spirit. I just wasn't that hungry, really. So anyway, the Lord's good. But we do want to walk in the Spirit, though, because you do have to make, my point is, you do have to make decisions. There are times that we can allow things to get, you know, we can choose to lash out. We can choose to bite and devour, or we can choose to walk in the Spirit. So let's choose that. Let's choose to love God and love people. All right, point B. So giving our lives is a welcome option if we have been obedient to the Word of God. So what is that all about? Well, in verse 21, he says, envyings. Oh, no, I'm in Galatians. Sorry. Let me get back. I was like, wait a minute. Verse 21, Paul says, of our text, he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. What's he talking about? Well, giving our lives is a welcome option if we've been obedient to the Word of God. And so Paul was ready to be offered because he was obedient to do what God called him to do. Right? So he was literally ready to be offered. And that's, as we read earlier, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about just like choosing not to, you know, to walk in the flesh. He's like, I'm willing to die, you know. As a matter of fact, I'd rather die. I'd rather be out of this body. But I'm going to stick around. So Paul was ready to be offered because he was obedient to do what God called him to do. So in Acts 26:19, the Bible says, I'm going to go back and look at that. Acts 26:19. Paul's standing before King Agrippa. Excuse me. And he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So Paul's in a situation where he is literally ready to be offered. He stands before King Agrippa and he says, I haven't been disobedient to the heavenly vision. And so when you give your testimony, can you tell others that you're not only saved, but like from the time you've been saved, you have been obedient to the heavenly vision, right? What God saved you unto. Now, I know that's a broad brush, because a lot of us, some people get saved as little children, so you don't even have full knowledge of what it is. You know, that's hard to make adult concepts of who God is when you're young and you get saved, so it might take some time to develop. Others of us get radically altered. You know, you get saved like the road to Damascus, and you know this is the path. You can't go back. You know, no turning back, no turning back. And you got to make a decision. Am I going to be obedient to that heavenly vision? But either way, it's still true. Whether it's a slow roll, right, through the local New Testament church, and you come up in an ideal environment, you still have decisions to make daily. You got to die daily. Or you're radically altered, and you had to make radical decisions and cut off relationships and not go to any more, you know, functions and stay away from people and change, get new friends, all that stuff you got to do. Because not because people are telling you to, because you know internally that if you don't, where are you headed? Right back to the world, and you're going the opposite direction of the heavenly vision, which is with Christ. And you don't have to know all the theology, because the Holy Ghost will teach you. and it's like good, bad. You know, go with the good, stay away from the bad. And so when you get saved, and I know you all, I think most of us, all of us probably would have a testimony of salvation. You know, how incredible it is that Paul is like saying, you know, I haven't been disobedient to the heavenly vision. I haven't been disobedient to the heavenly vision. So, you know, you think about that. What is God really wanting from you? Because we go through seasons of life. Things change. Pastor Randy, you know, he's in a different season right now. So things change. So it's not always just, you know, Paul's not always free, right, just to go out and preach. There's times he's going to end his life in a prison cell, pretty much. So there's different seasons of life, but you can still be obedient to the heavenly vision. So what really made... What was Paul? What made him? I'm not going to keep rolling. I want you to think about this. What made him obedient to the heavenly vision? What was the primary thing that where he could have, with confidence, say, "I've been obedient to the heavenly vision"? What was it that God was asking him to do? Huh?
and say, preach the gospel.
Yeah, right? Acts chapter 9. I mean, you are to be a witness to the kings, to the nation of Israel, and to the Gentiles, right? So all he was, I mean, if you boil his life down, all he has to do is open his mouth mm-hmm. and tell people about Jesus Christ, which wasn't always welcome or wanted. And so if he did that, no matter what, he didn't like have to pray about it, you know? He wasn't something like, oh, Lord, what should I do today? He already knew what to do today. Go out and proclaim Jesus. Be a witness. That's all he has to do. Obviously, there's a lot of nuance to that, and he has to figure out, you know, if he's supposed to be in Philippi or if he's supposed to be in Asia, you know, and all of those things, so God takes him. But you look at that. That's even encouraging. Paul, who had this very clear vision daily to be a witness, still didn't know where he was going every day, right? So you can relax. You don't have to have every decision made. You just got to know that when you wake up in the morning, your primary purpose for breathing is to be a witness. Mm-hmm. It's no different for us than it was for Paul, because that's why we're here. So hopefully when we get to the end of the road, right, and now we're to the point where, you know, Paul's like, well, if they called me up today, I think I've done what I'm supposed to do, right? Well, how can you have that confidence? Well, it's by doing what you're supposed to do every day. Right? And that's what we should be doing. So today when we go take it to the streets, you know, if the Lord calls you up, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You don't have to worry about who receives you or who doesn't receive you. The issue is, will you go? Will you speak? Will we talk? Will we share? And I don't know about y'all, but when I'm walking in my flesh, I don't want to do all that. When I'm walking in my spirit, it's even scary, right? But I tell you, when I'm in the flesh, I definitely don't want to do that. I mean, I will avoid sharing the gospel because I don't want to. Right? Because it's my flesh hates that. So, and I know y'all are better than me, but that's how I roll. So anyway, so Paul was prepared to meet the Lord, right? In 2 Timothy 4:6, turn over there real quick. I'm sorry, next time I do the PowerPoint, I'll have those up on the screen for you so we don't have to flip around so much. That is in the Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. How is this possible that I'm struggling to get to 2 Timothy? This is like, pray for me. All right, there we go. There it is. Thank you, Bob. We're actually, I just finished this chapter on Sunday, or no, I'm in this chapter on Sunday nights. All right, so someone want to read verses 6 through 8? 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8.
For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Amen. Thank you, Chloe. So here's a question for our application today. Is do we love the Lord's appearing? Yeah. Are we looking forward to that? You know, because he says this is for us, all them that love his appearing. Praise the Lord. So there is a crown of righteousness laid up for all those that love the Lord's appearing. And do we welcome the judgment seat of Christ? What would make you welcome the judgment seat of Christ?
Confident in what you've been doing.
Yeah, confident. What might, and that confidence would probably be accompanied with some fruit. You know, seeing people that would otherwise not be there. And so so Paul was confident. He was looking forward to the crowns of rejoicing. Here he's saying a crown of righteousness. But this is because he's fought a good fight, right? He's done that. He has finished his course, and he has kept the faith. Yes, sir.
Kind of takes us back to Galatians 2:20. I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
When we get saved, it's not so much our faith
right.
that saves us. It's the faith of Jesus Christ that comes into us and saves us.
Yep, that's right. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. We put our faith in his faith.
Yep,
because he was faithful, and he is faithful and true. And ultimately, that's what's going to be meted out. So the judgment seat of Christ is also about rewards. So if you're in school and you study to prepare to take a test, you'll be anxious to await the grade at the end. But especially if you know you did well, right? So we should be students of the Word who study the textbooks of the Bible and give the correct answers to the questions of life. If we do this consistently, we're able, with confidence, to look to eternity with joy as we know that Christ is working through us to perform His will. And so that gets us back to the issue of working out our salvation, right? You've heard of working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, mainly Beasley once asked, "Are you what is written of you?" You know, are you what is written of you? And so, what is written of you? Well, we're reading some things even today that are written of us. So if you've entered a contest and prepared and did your best, you're going to await the judgment with anticipation, knowing that you did the best you could. Right? It's not like we're sinlessly perfect. Our sin's already been dealt with. So really, it's not about that. It's about the effort, right? It's about what we put in and our heart toward it. So God's not asking for perfection. He's really just asking for obedience. Paul could say, you know what I did every day as I witnessed to Jews, to Gentiles, to kings, right? I edified the church. I did what God told me to do. And for that, I'm looking forward. Now, obviously, it is a fearful thing, obviously, because you're getting measured against perfection. But giving our lives does not necessarily mean dying as a martyr, but living as a saint. Right? Paul wasn't looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ because he had the faith to die for Jesus. No, he was looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ because he had the faith to live for Jesus. And dying was a gain. And so, and that's the thing that we've got to have is a faith to live for Jesus. And I think the good thing about like studying this right now in this time of history is this is a great time for us to actually exercise that. I think we're going to have more opportunity maybe than in the last few decades and days ahead just to really live out what it is to live for Jesus in front of people. And so that's a good option. It's a good opportunity. All right. So we can look forward to the judgment seat of Christ when we follow Him. So point C, the fruit of Paul's labor was souls. So we already answered this question, but Paul answers it for us. He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So our life produces fruit. So what kind of fruit is my life and your life producing? So Paul is concerned with his labor. Right, so what we do is important. Right, it's not just like sitting around in a trance, you know. You know, I mean, there's stuff to do, and there's labor involved. And so, because he knows he's responsible to finish his work, the people, the prison, the preaching, the suffering, was all part of the fruit of Paul's labor. And so, yeah. So even the suffering, do you suffer well? I know, Pastor Randy, you suffered well. Big time. And it's part of being a Christian is suffering well. I don't know that I've always suffered well. I think I might get demerits on some of that. So, but suffering well is part of it because you're being like Jesus Christ. And so, anyway, those are things to meditate on. And then point D, the hope of the gospel costs us our will. Oh, that's the one that I hate. So in verse 22 and 23 there, he says, flee also... Oh, darn, I'm in 2 Timothy. Flee also youthful lusts. So, you guys know that I need help. So, all right, back to the text. Verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So Paul didn't want... Paul didn't do what he necessarily wanted to do. He did what the Lord asked him to do. And that's really the key. So what is God asking you to do today? Right? Not what do you want to do, what do I want to do, but what is God asking us to do to fulfill His will? So the hope of the gospel, it continues to give, and it costs our lives. It costs our will, right? And so the last thing we see here is the cost is worth it for others' sakes. And so that's what he says in verse 23, for I'm a strait betwixt two, right? The tension here is that I have a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is better. So he's being honest, like, I love y'all, but really I'd rather be with Christ, right? Because compared to, I mean, he's just better. I don't want to say anything to offend anybody, but I mean that's a big thing to think about. And you think about that with now in HB in our Bible fellowship, right? In real life, we can say that about each other. But when you think about saying that to your husband or your wife, that's heavy. Or your kids. Well, that's heavy. Like, oh, well, you're great, but you know what? Jesus is better. But in reality, that is our life. The truth is, our life, if there's anything good in our life, it is because Jesus is better. If we were left to ourselves, we wouldn't have that good relationship with the kids, and we wouldn't have that good relationship with our husband or wife. That is Jesus. That's why it's so much better to be with him. And then we got to trust him with these that he's already provided. The love that we have for them that's so rich, well, guess who gave us that? Mm-hmm. He did. He'll take care of them. He'll take care of them. So, anyway, those are, again, things to meditate upon. Paul's like, I'd like to, but you know what? God wants me to stay here with y'all. So it's not like he's building great confidence, but he's just being honest. Like, they're not better than Christ, but they're really good, and that's why God wants them to stay there. There's still work to be done. And so, so the hope of the gospel, what it does is it constrains us to invest in others, right? It constrains us. Like, Paul's constrained to invest in others. And so, the cost is worth it for others' sakes. The people are worth investing in. God invested in you before you ever received him, and in me as well. So long before I was even born, God invested in me. And Paul didn't live his life for his sake, but for the sake of others, so he was dead to self. So Paul was also interested in furthering the saints, right? So having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Now, I'm sure they were delighted. The Philippians. Like, wow, we get to keep Paul. But in a way, it was their lack that kept him here. He was ready to go home. Like, if they had said, yeah, Paul, you're guilty. We're going to kill you. He'd have been like, okay, I'm ready to go home. But instead, he's like, well, I'm going to get out of this mess, and that's for your sakes, because God has some more work for you to do. So it's something to think about. He was confident. And to continue, and he wanted to continue their joy, right? Their furtherance and their joy. He wanted them to keep going. So how can God use you to further the saints? If you don't know, that's okay, right? So what you have to do, what I have to do, is begin to learn of him and allow him to show you. Like, what is it that, how, God, do you want me to further the saints? You say, well, that's the Apostle Paul, not me. No, that's everybody. The reason God leaves us here is to further the saints. It's not all about us. There comes that point. That's maturity, right? Just like just normal life is like that too. You know, when you're young, it's all about how much fun you can have and how much it's all about you. Then you have children, and the next thing you realize that you can't exist like that and be a good parent, right? Something has to change, and you have to start investing in others and putting others ahead of yourself, right? Even nature teaches us that. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything. But if you choose not to do that, nature will also teach you that there's results, and they're not pretty. And so spiritually, it's the same thing. Paul's like, you know, my reason for being here is not me, because for me, it's better to be in heaven, but it's for y'all, right? And so God uses you to be here to further others, even if it's working in the nursery, the kingdom kids. People think, oh, yeah, just working with the children. I don't know about that. Do you know how many kids' lives are, like, impacted by faithful adults that just love Jesus and show up and invest in little kiddos? Changes their life. Maybe they come out of a meth addict house or whatever. They roll up in a church like ours, and some sweet grandma ladies there just pinching their cheeks and loving on them, hugging on them, whatever. And we don't even know what's going on week after week or month after month or year after year. But you don't know what God's actually doing in that child's life. It's big. Those are the big things, right? It's not all just up in the front. Most of it's probably happening in the E-Wing every Sunday, right? And God allows us to do the show so these little kiddos can get ministered to, you know? And so it's just amazing what God can do. If you're just faithful and you invest and you make your life about witnessing, God will use it beyond what you ask or think. But, you know, God leaves you here to further the saints. If you're here, you're breathing, and you're vertical, then God has work for you. And, I, you know, so many widows I've talked to over the years, I feel like, oh, because they can't do the nursery anymore. They can't do what they used to do. They can't do the potlucks. They can't do all the busy, you know, the Martha stuff. I'm like, hey, pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So your faith has to grow. Because when you're praying, you got to pray by faith. You got to believe that God is good to His word. It's not about physically doing anything. It's about really engaging in that priestly work that God's called us to, and faithfully doing that. Man, that goes a long way. And Sharon was just rejoicing today because of prayer of the saints. You know, God, you know, don't underestimate the work of prayer. And so someday I'll probably have to eat these words. I'll be laid up somewhere going, all I can do is pray, Lord. But you know what? I pray by God's grace. That's what I'll do. And so so point C. Paul was interested in increasing their joy of faith, right, in verse 25. So what's he wanting to do? Well, having this confidence, right, the confidence that he has, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Like, we're going somewhere good with this thing. He was increasing their joy of faith. So simply, the simple recipe for joy, and many of you know this, is Jesus, others, and yourself. I remember many, many moons ago, I was at a conference, and George Grace preached this out of 1 John, "Let your joy may be full." And he put three fold-up chairs in front of us, and he worked at Jesus, and then others, and then yourself. And man, it rocked me. I mean, I never forgot that message. If you want to have joy, right? Jesus, are you? Am I? Jesus, others, and yourself. Am I causing a? You guys are like, okay. I thought maybe.
I was wondering if it's at KCBT, because I feel like I remember it.
It was at Old McDonald's Farm. Yeah, it was the Old McDonald's Farm night. You know, I was up there. Yeah, he may have preached it, but I wasn't there. He may have preached it at the temple, but I wasn't there for that one. So I never went to church there, really. No, I'm just kidding. Busted. No, I'm guilty. They got me. My fingerprints. But Jesus says in yourself. So make faith enjoyable, though. That's also what I want. You know, this doesn't have to be a drag. You know, I tend to run a little bit to the serious side, but I'm a little intense at times. But you do have to have fun. You got to enjoy the journey. I mean, let's be honest. I don't think Paul was all just, you know, grit. I mean, there's a lot of good laughs with Paul. I bet he and Aquila and Priscilla, they yucked it up quite a bit. You know, there is joy, and there is something about that, just the joy of the Lord. It's your strength, right? And he was looking forward to that, seeing the joy of the Philippians. And we know they were under intense persecution, but it is something how you can see that joy. You go to India, you go to Nepal, these people that don't have, you go to Africa, right? And there's joy among people. You realize, wow, you don't have to have all this stuff to have joy. All you need is Jesus. And good relationships, and wow, amazing. They're richer than a lot of other people that are burdened down with a bunch of stuff because they don't really know where joy is found. And so we should have joy in the journey, and we should increase in joy, right? And joy of faith, because I don't want to leave out the faith. So make faith enjoyable, and reading your Bible shouldn't be a drag. It should be a joy. Coming to church needs not be a drag. It should be a joy. You know, so forgive me if I'm robbing you of your joy, right? That's not my job. My job is to increase your joy, not deplete your joy. And so Paul wants to intensify, then we're done. He wants to intensify the rejoicing for Jesus Christ. And so that's what he says in verse 26. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He wants the praise band to get cranked up when he shows up. He's like, hey, when I come, we need to have a party. We need to get excited about our faith in Jesus, because God has kept me alive so that you guys can keep going further. And that's what they did. The whole world knew about the church. We know that. The churches of Macedonia and that part of Europe, before it was over with, they need not preach anything. Right? These guys were so cranked up on Jesus that everybody was hearing about it. Where were they getting that from? Well, they were getting it from Paul, because Paul was their example. And so when he comes to them again, right, the doctrinal reference to the rapture of Jesus Christ, when he returns for his church, you know what's going to happen? Our joy is going to be full, right? There's coming a day when Jesus is coming for us again, right? And it'd be better for him to be in heaven, but he's going to come and grab us, take us home. And it's going to be exciting when we get there. So the hope of the gospel continues to give. It costs our lives, and it constrains us to invest. And that's all I got to say about that. In others. It constrains us to invest in others. So as we conclude, how's our investment this morning? Right? And I know you guys are all faithful folks. But I would encourage us all to make room in our lives. If you're going to make room in your life, you know, make room to make disciples. Because there's no other investment.
I was talking to my friend Bertha the other day from Cameroon.
Yeah.
And she said people here are so angry and they don't have Jesus in their heart.
Hmm.
She said they're just not happy.
Right.
And she said it makes her sad because they're lost. And they don't know they're
going to hell, basically. Yeah.
She said she missed Cameroon because a lot of people there are saved and they have joy in their hearts.
Yeah. The joy of the Lord is our strength, isn't it? People know. It is sad when we don't have the joy of the Lord. Paul, you know, I titled this book The Joy of Sacrificial Service, which seems like an oxymoron, but it's not. It's really true. There's a joy of knowing the results. It's obviously not in the suffering that comes with it, but in the results and seeing God increase others' faith, you know. And I'm praying. I have kids. I'm hoping they grow up. Someday I'll look back and go, whew, I'm glad. Hopefully it ends up well, you know, and then I'll be glad of all the sacrifice. Yes, ma'am.
That last section of constraint to invest in others.
Mm-hmm.
Brought me from being resigned to my life and the true commitment, contentment that Paul talks about. Because there's a big difference. And that was just in the discipleship lesson, which is about money and things. But that's not at all what it meant to me. It's
right.
Being resigned to your life is not contentment. And that is the key, investing in others.
Investing in others, which you do. Thank you. Well, thank you all. You all are investors, you know, and there's a good return. That's the whole point of this particular section. There's a great return on that investment, you know, and it's a whole different value system in the world. So we praise the Lord for that. Well, I have ended with 5 minutes to spare. Can you believe that? So praise the Lord. So next week we'll pick it up there, and we'll wrap up the chapter with a whole fresh little. You guys like the little outlines?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what you asked for. That's what they got. Oh no, next week is Easter. Forgive me. So if you're in here, you know, eat some biscuits and gravy in here. But that's about it, because that's all that's going on. But let's have a word of prayer. And Pastor Randy, you want to close us in a word of prayer?
Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for today and for the word that we've heard and the encouraging word from the Apostle Paul and through him, Lord, from your Son Jesus Christ.
And yes.
We pray, Father, that we could always take these encouraging comments that he's made, Lord, and apply them in our life, to make them effective in our life, to make them real in our life. Help us, Lord, to be somebody who desires to please you by ministering to others and never stepping away from that. Pray, Father, for the main services we're about to partake in, Lord, and the Lord's Supper, Lord, that we would remember what you did that we might have eternal life.
Yes.
Through the grace and mercy of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And thank you for chocolate.
Yeah,
they're kind of lame, but that's okay.
I wonder if it's
I really don't know.
Okay.